Last Sunday we began teaching from Acts chapter 10 about two men, one being a Gentile, a Roman captain of 100 people, 100 soldiers, and another being a Jew. One's name is Cornelius, the other's name is Peter, who was one of the 12 apostles. And a devout Jewish person. And these two types of people don't normally ever come together. As a matter of fact, the gospel that Jesus brought to this world and shared with his disciples up until this time, this story that we're reading about right here, most of the Christians, those especially in Jerusalem that were Jews, hadn't really thought of anyone but a Jew being saved. They didn't realize that the gospel, the good news, was for every nation, every person under the sun that would ever be born from Genesis to Revelations, Jews or Gentiles or whatever. They had an opportunity to accept God's forgiveness. So let's just kind of read through this real quickly. Lessons from Acts chapter 10 is the title of this. This is part 2. Let's read beginning with verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment or band. A devout man. Everybody say devout. That means he believed in God and he worshiped God. It tells us here, and he was one who feared God with all of his household and who gave alms. That is, he generously helped to all of the poor people that he knew about, that he could find, that he could help. And we also see that he was a praying man in this verse. He prayed to God always. So here we have a very devout man who was actually not a Jew, was a Gentile and a Roman, and an officer in the Italian regiment. And he was worshiping God. He was he believed in God. He didn't know who God was. He didn't know where God was. He didn't know much about God, except he just believed that there had to be a God somewhere, and he was worshiping him. Amen. We have a lot of people like that today that they've never had an experience with God. They have a religion. They have a belief in God. They have faith sometimes in God. And they seem to fear God. And they pray to God. But they have never experienced the reality of God's presence. But I want to say to those people that are hearing via the internet or through tapes or CDs or whatever, and they hear this message, that if you're one of those and you've never really experienced the presence of God and you don't really know who God is and you've not really, then you've basically not really been saved. We have a man here that has done all of the things that you would think were humanly possible, and he had religion, but he still wasn't saved. But we understand from reading these passages of Scripture here in Acts chapter 10, and we're going to see what Peter said further down here in just a minute, but that if anybody, like James says, if any man draws near to God, in whatever way he tries to draw near to God, God's going to see to it that he gets the answer. Amen? God's going to see to it. God's not unrighteous, and he's not ungodly in the sense that he doesn't accept anybody. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. And so everybody in this whole world has an opportunity, regardless of whether they're religious or not. And this, of course, we live in a religious world, and there's a whole lot of people that are religious but don't know Christ. So God is speaking to them today through me and through His Word. He speaks through His Word. And He's speaking through this particular incident because He wants everyone to know that's just religious, that that's not enough. It's not by works of righteousness which we can do. Not anybody can do enough religious works. And Cornelius is an example of that. I don't think there's any of us that really have gone into religion so like Cornelius did and do all the things that he did because he had a belief in God. See, a person can believe in God. He can even believe in the Son of God. But if he has not received God's gift and he doesn't know what it means to be saved, then somebody has to tell him, just like Cornelius had to be told, because he was going through these things. He'd even taught his household to believe in God. Isn't that wonderful? So he was a very devout man. But if he had died in that state, he would have not gone to be with God. Isn't that amazing? See, the people need to understand that religion is not the answer, no matter what it is. Even a person can even have the Christian religion and belong to a Christian church and still not know God and have a relationship with Him, because there's only one way to have a relationship with God. And Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He didn't say religion was a way, or Baptists were the way, or the Catholic was the way, or Presbyterian, or the Church of Christ. He said, "I am the way." So the way and the truth and life is not a religion, it's not a philosophy, it's not a belief, it's a person. It's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact of the matter is, we can have all the religion in the world, but God is going to get through to us, if He can get through to us. One of the worst, most difficult things that the Holy Spirit has sometimes of getting through, is our religion. So He can get through to us and say, "Hey, you need more than religion. You need to settle down and put your faith and your trust in the Lord, my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and depend on Him. And whenever you put your faith and trust in Him, you receive Him. He receives you. We're born again by the Spirit of God." Amen? And we become a child of God, and our bodies become the habitation of God through the Spirit. All of these things are taught in the Bible. And this is a part of this lesson that we're talking about, and we may have touched on some of this last Sunday, but we want to go through this a little bit more, because we see that the Lord appeared to Cornelius in a vision about 3 o'clock in the ninth hour. Verse 3 is about the 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Cornelius was praying, and God said to him, Cornelius, He spoke to him, I guess, in an audible voice. Somehow he heard God's voice. Amen. And when he observed him, when he saw this angel, a vision of an angel coming to him, saying, "Cornelius," when he looked at him, he was afraid, and he said, "What is it, Lord?" So the first thing he did was he called an angel the Lord, and God doesn't want, of course, God doesn't, God understands that. There's only one Lord, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God doesn't want us to worship angels or any other being other than Him and His Son. So He said to him, "Your prayers," I love this, "your prayers and your alms," or your good deeds, "the things that you're doing because you believe in Me, have come up for a memorial before God." Isn't that wonderful? So I believe that anybody that, even if they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they don't know just exactly what it means to be saved, I believe that if they're trying to do good and they believe in God and they believe that there is a God, in other words, and they believe that there is a Lord Jesus Christ, and they're trying to do whatever they can, and they're praying, and they're giving alms, and they're doing everything that they can be to be saved, God's going to get them the message that, hey, this is what you do need to do in order to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? So, verse 6, he's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And here's a good point. If you'll get Peter, he will tell you what you must do. Amen? We need to hear the good news of the gospel about Jesus Christ. That's the only way. So we need to get, if we're dependent on our religion and all this other stuff, we need to hear what God has to say. So when the angel, verse 7, had spoken to him and departed, Cornelius called a couple of his guys together and a soldier. And when he had explained the vision to them and what he was doing, he sent them to Joppa. So next thing that we need to do whenever we have God speak to us and say, I love you, I care about you, I care about your wife, I care about your husband, I care about your children, I care about your grandchildren. The next thing that we need to do is do whatever it is he tells us to do. Amen? And the basic thing he tells us to do is to believe. Like he told Nicodemus, one of the most religious men in all of Israel at the time Jesus was on this earth. You can read about this in John chapter 3. He told Nicodemus, except you be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus, thinking logically, said, how in the world can I be born again? I can't enter back into my mother's womb and be born. What are you talking about? And he said, I'm talking to you about the Spirit and life. Amen. You have to be born of the Spirit and the blood. Amen. So he sent people to find out. He sent to find Peter to find out what it was, the message that he needed to hear. Now, I love this too, because you see, while God is working on Cornelius, knowing where Cornelius is, he has to do a job on Peter too. Because Peter, being the good Jew that he is, at this point in time doesn't think that he's supposed to have anything at all to do with Gentiles. As a matter of fact, if you read this chapter, and I'm not going to have time probably to read all of it, but I'll quote some places, passages from it, but I said earlier, there's a lot of lessons we can learn from this. And one of the lessons we can learn from this is from Peter, is that sometimes there's things that we don't really understand about in our lives that God wants us to do, but he'll get a message through to us. Amen? One way or another. In this particular case, he had a job for Peter to do. He wanted Peter to do it. But you see, Peter had to do it because he was the one that had to bring the good news. Nobody else really knew much about the good news. God has Peter, he's up on the housetop, and it's noon. It's 12 o'clock. And he's getting hungry, but he's up on the housetop, and he's searching, seeking God, and he's praying. So that tells us that a couple of things. Number one, God has some things for us, want us to do. Number two, we really need to be drawing nigh to God. Even if you don't really understand a whole lot of things about God, even after we become a Christian, we have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? So one of the ways that we grow is we learn how to hear His voice. And then oftentimes, the way we learn how to hear His voice, and we think, well, is that God or not? But really, if we know the Lord, I think we really understand. We may not be exactly sure, but I think we kind of understand, hey, I believe that's the Lord trying to talk to me. Amen. You better ask. So he's asking. He's talking to the Lord. And God's about to ask him. The Lord is about to ask him to do something that's way beyond anything he's ever done in his whole life, and something that he really believes he's not supposed to do. Are you listening to me? Sometimes God wants us to do some things that we don't think we're supposed to be doing. and it's not for necessarily for our benefit. It's for his benefit, and maybe oftentimes for the benefit of others. Because God wants us, and since we are as believers and as Christians and as being born again by the Spirit of God, we're the children of light. Amen? And our light's supposed to shine in the darkness. He said, you don't put it under a bushel. You don't light a candlestick and put it under a bushel. It's going to shine. And I found out years ago, whether I realized it or not, my light was shining. And I was so backslidden at the time, I was ashamed that my light was shining. I didn't want people to know I was a Christian. Are you following me? and that's a shame. But thank God he forgave me for that. He understood where I was. And like Peter, he had some things he wanted to do in my life, but he had to get my attention. Amen? And I was mad at him anyway. I didn't, because he didn't do what I wanted him to do. Are you with me? Anyway, God's so good. God is just so good. We have a great, wonderful, mighty God. We have a great and wonderful, mighty Heavenly Father. And so he has a way of getting our attention, doesn't he? So while Peter was praying, let me get back up here and get to my scripture. While Peter was praying, drawing near to the Lord, he went up on the housetop to pray about noon, verse 10. He was very, very hungry and he wanted to eat. And he was so hungry, I guess he just kind of fell into a trance. The Bible says he fell into a trance. I guess he just kind of, have you ever been so hungry you just felt like you're going to pass out if you didn't get something to eat? Anyway, and in this semi-conscious place, he saw a vision. And God has different ways to speak to us. Sometimes he can speak to us through visions. Amen? We just need to check it out and make sure it's of God. Yeah. So he sees this sheet let down. And in that, there was all kinds of animals, birds and animals, in this sheet. Now, Peter, being a good Jewish person, he was still abiding by all the Jewish laws, and he had never eaten anything that you wasn't supposed to eat or unclean. And I don't want to go into the Jewish diet right this time, but there was a lot of things in this sheet that he wouldn't expect God to tell him to eat. But in this vision, as he's seeing it, because God's trying to get him to do something he's never done before, God tells him, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." This happens three times. Sometimes God has to speak to us. Are you listening to me? There's been some times he said, now, there's been some times he said, I felt like he wanted me to do something. I wanted to say, is there anybody else up there? You with me? So three times this happened, and three times Peter said, Lord, not me. I mean, that's unclean stuff. I don't know. There's never been anything unclean entered into my mouth. And God is saying to him, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. You listening? There's a lot of things that we need to know. You know, there's so many people get so involved in religious, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't run with those who do. Don't do this, don't do that, you know. It's not a don't do thing with God, it's a do thing. I want you to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And then you'll get rid of all that junk, religious junk, and then you can follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit, and I'll tell you, and get into the Word of God, and I'll tell you what I want you to do. And I'll direct your life, and not only will you be blessed, but you will be a blessing to other people. So what God is trying to get Peter to do is not only so that he can, so that Cornelius could be blessed and do and hear the message that God had to tell him, speak to Cornelius through Peter, through Peter. But it also becomes a blessing to us because we get to see some of the miracles of God. Are you with me? If we'll do what God wants us to do, we'll see some things that God can do that are beyond our wildest dreams and imagination. So God is telling him, what I'm calling clean, don't you call unclean. Now, at that same moment, isn't this a coincidence? I want you to understand this. Sometimes God interferes with our meals. You want to understand what I'm talking about? He's hungry. It's lunchtime. He hadn't had anything to eat. He's on the housetop praying. He sees a vision. He still doesn't get anything to eat because at the same time he's about to hungry and ready to go down to eat, and God's showing him something. There's the men that have been sent to see him knocking at the door. And he said, oh my. And then they come and tell him, at the same time he's seen this vision from God, they come and tell him, we come from a man by the name of Cornelius, and he wants you to come and tell him because God told him that you would come and tell him something that he needs to know that he needs to do. Isn't that wonderful? Sometimes, and I want to reiterate this, sometimes God has us, he wants to speak, he wants us to speak to some people. And it's basically all we need to say is whatever it is God wants us to say. But generally, it's to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ so that they can find him as their Lord and Savior, or so whatever, because as Christians, sometimes we need to be corrected. Amen? And instructed in the ways of righteousness. And he uses other Christian people. He can even use the most unlearned child in the Christian faith to say something to somebody. Are you with me? Because it's not that person, it's the Lord speaking through that person, and that person is learning how to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit in his life. Amen? And God can speak to anybody that he wants to speak. Ask Balaam. God spoke through a donkey. Now, if God can speak through a donkey, we get the point here. Sometimes as Christians, God wants, we have a message. We have a message. And God wants us to share that message with other people. Now, that doesn't mean we need to go around making a nuisance out of ourselves, but it does mean that we need to be aware of the fact that our body is the habitation of God through the Spirit, that God's our Heavenly Father, and that God wants us sometimes to do some things that might be a little difficult for us to do. So Peter is actually thinking about this. He says in verse 17, while Peter was wondering in himself what this vision was, what it meant, and what it was all about, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry at Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. Sometimes the Lord says, hey, this is why I gave you this. This is what I want you to say. And you find yourself in a situation right then at that time. You can bet you can believe that that's God. Amen. So Peter went with them. If God hadn't worked on Peter, he would have never gone to see Cornelius. But the good thing about Cornelius is, Peter goes down, verse 21, to Cornelius, and he says, I'm the one you're looking for. And to the men that had come, and they said, well, what are you doing here? Why are you looking for me? And they said, well, Cornelius is a just man. He's one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the Jews, verse 22. And he was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Amen. There's some of us that have a special call from God to teach or to preach his word. Amen. And it's not that we're so good. It may be that we're not so good at all, that God can use us. Are you listening to me? He wants to speak through us. And we have a special call. And there's some people that need. There's some people that no one else could reach in your community or in your neighborhood or in your family that no one else could reach but you. And God will use you. If you draw close to him, he will use you to be one of the ones that he can use to reach out and to touch other people's lives. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? So Peter said, you guys come on in, verse 23, and they spend the night. The next day Peter went away with them. And the other thing that God likes to have is, when he's doing something special and he's doing something different in people's lives, he likes to have somebody along with you. Not so much that they're going to do anything for you, but otherwise they're just going to be a witness that what you said is the truth. Amen? And what you did. And sometimes we need that. Those extra witnesses, verse 23, some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And all of this whole group next day came into Caesarea, and they went into Cornelius' house. And look at this, verse 24. Now Cornelius was waiting for them, and he had called together his relatives and his close friends. Isn't that wonderful? He said, sometimes it's our relatives and our close friends that need to hear from God more than anybody else. And he called them all and he said, listen, I've sent for a man. God told me, he told them his vision. I've seen this angel and he told me to call for this man. And I want y'all, if you're interested, to come to my house because there's going to be a special meeting and there's going to be a man here from God. And he's going to tell us what we all need to hear. Amen. Sometimes we need to call some people in, don't we? Especially if we're going to hear something from the Lord. And so they're all there. And Peter tells them, said, well, you know, guys, it's unlawful for a Jewish man, verse 28, for me to even be here, to keep company with someone from another nation. As far as we're concerned, y'all are supposed to be dogs. Are you with me? But God Amen? God. If we'll just let God have His way. God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Amen? Verse 28. Therefore, Peter says, I've come without any objection, as soon as I was sent for, and I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? You know, sometimes we find ourselves, I have myself wandering around in the ministry, in my house and other places, and saying, Lord, why am I in this particular situation? Why do you have me here? What am I doing here? And sometimes when we find ourselves in strange circumstances and situations and some of them not so good, we really need to talk to the Lord and say, don't complain and say, why am I going through this? Why do you have me here? I'm expecting you to guide me and lead me in my life, and I think everything you have for good is good for me. Then what in the world am I doing in this situation? We don't need to complain or fuss or cry or get upset. We just need to ask the Lord. He doesn't mind us asking why, especially if it has something to do with His will. Amen? And I believe that all the circumstances, situations in life that we go through, sometimes we don't know why we're there, but God knows why we're there. And if we'll just open our eyes and look around, He'll show us why we're there. He's wanting to show us something. He's wanting to teach us something, not just so we can learn and walk with Him in a more intimate fashion, but maybe He's wanting to show us something so that we can share it with somebody else. I've known of stories and cases, and you may have heard if you've been a Christian for any length of time and been around some of these other weird Christians, as the world calls us, you'll find out that in order to get a person's attention, God has shared something with us so that we can share something. Oh, let me tell you a story. I pastored in this church. This has been several years ago. And a lady from my church calls me and says, I need to bring somebody over. There was a young lady, like in her 20s. And she's not been saved and she doesn't know the Lord. And I told her she needed to come talk to you. And is it all right if I bring her over? So I said, well, that's fine. Bring her over. So she brings her over to my house, and Pat and this lady, my wife and this lady, go sit on the couch. And I don't know if you've not ever been in my office, but there's a big wide double door. There's no doors. There's doors there, but they're always open. And so I invited that lady so we'd have a little bit of privacy to come and sit down in one of my chairs that I have in there. I sat down in the other one across from her. And I just start talking to her. And she was looking like, well, why am I even here? And so I feel like the Lord I got out of my chair and I went over and I knelt down in front of her and I took her hands. And God told me something about her. And I told her what God wanted me to say. And she was shocked. She said, how do you know that? Nobody knows that. I said, yes, God knows. And He hadn't shared that with me to embarrass you. He has shared that with me because He wants you to know He knows everything there is to know about you, and He loves you. Instead of sitting there and listening to me and getting the message that God had for her, she jumped up and ran out of the house. She missed it. in spite of the fact of what God had done, she missed it. I don't know, maybe later on she might have gotten saved. I don't know. I never did hear from the girl that brought her over, and I never did hear from her ever again, insofar that as I know. So verse 33, Cornelius says, "Now, therefore, we are all present before God." Are you listening? When we come into a situation where we feel like that God is wanting to tell us something or to show us something, when we come into a church on a Sunday morning or a Sunday Wednesday or whenever we come, and we're in a church that's a spiritual church and has a man of God as the pastor, then we're not just coming to church to hear another sermon. We're coming to church, and we're coming in. We need to recognize that we are all present before God, that God has something that He wants to say to us, and we need to be listening. Amen? And it's not only just when we're in church, but when we come into the presence of God in prayer or any time, God has a lot of things that He would like to show us. Are you with me? He says, now, verse 33, "Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all things commanded you by God." In other words, we don't want to hear a sermon. We don't want to hear a message. We don't want to hear something from some person or some book or something that you've come up with. We want to hear something from God. Something that will encourage us. Something that will strengthen us. Something that will help us. Something that might want to God want to tell us so He can correct some things in our lives. Are you with me? We want to hear from God. And let me tell you something. We need to hear from God. Now, I want to go just a step further here, if I can, because the god of this world, Satan, is called the god of this world, and he's a deceiver. And one of the things that he likes to do is to block us and keep us from hearing what God wants us to hear, because he does not want us to do the will of God in our lives, because the will of God is in direct opposition to Him. Amen? So when we're looking at this, and he says, we want to hear from God, sometimes God has some things to say to us that we need to hear from. Where was I? Verse 33. "So he sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, for we are all present before God to hear things God commanded for you." And here's what I wanted to say. Thank you, Lord. God can talk to us about anything. Just let's don't put God in some kind of religious box. God doesn't want just your religion. God wants you. God loves you. And God is concerned about everything in your life that concerns you. And so don't just put God in a religious box and talk to Him about religious things. Talk to God about anything. If you have something that's bothering you, maybe it's a car problem. Maybe if it's a financial problem. Maybe it's a child's, one of your children. Maybe it's one of your friends. Maybe it's it may be your mom. It may be your dad. It may be anything that concerns it causes you any kind of concern, or that you're having problems with, or you think you need some help with. The first place you need to go is to God, because I'm going to tell you, He may send you to a pastor like He sent Cornelius to or Peter to Cornelius or whatever. But the first thing we need to do is go to Him, because He knows what our problems are and He knows how to solve them. And if we will let Him take care of them, we'll find out that our relationship with God goes beyond just religion. It enters into our lives, and our relationship with Him becomes stronger because we begin to see that He is indeed our Heavenly Father. And that He cares for us, and that He can supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus. So if you have something that's bothering you, don't think nobody knows about it. Nobody may know about it or not. What doesn't make any difference whether anybody knows about it or not, God knows about it. Amen? So you can go to God and you can talk to Him about anything you want to talk to Him about. The Bible tells us as God's children, now you get this, let us come boldly before the throne of God's grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly. It doesn't mean I come crawling in like a snail or like a whipped dog. And it doesn't mean either I come in boldly and arrogantly and say, okay, God, tell me what it is that I need to know. It means that we've become in a relationship with God so that we can come into His presence. Boldly means that we have access to our Heavenly Father. Amen? And we can come into His presence anytime and talk to Him about anything we want to talk about, and He'll hear us. But let me tell you this other thing is because the other thing is that we miss out on so much. As Christians, we're always doing the talking. We need to do some listening. He says, be still and know that I am God. In other words, shut your mouth. Get still. If you ask God in prayer, Lord, I need to know about this situation, and I don't know what to say, and I don't know what but I need your help. I need you to tell me something. Are you with me? And sometimes He'll tell you different things. Not right now. Wait. Now's not the time. I had Him tell me one time when I was so frustrated, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning trying to learn something from His Word, been studying for 2 or 3 hours, and I just got up frustrated and started to get me a cup of coffee, and as I was going through my den office into my dining room, He said, Lewis, and I stopped dead still. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it was so, I was drawing so close to the Lord, it sounded like an audible voice. And I stopped dead still. And I heard this, you're trying to understand things that are too wonderful for you. And I stopped and I said, well, Lord, that's Scripture. He said, yeah, it is. Job 42 or 43. He told me where it was. And I said, wow. So my sheep, listen to me, please. Jesus said, my sheep shall hear my voice. Amen. It may not necessarily be an audible voice, but if we can be still, He speaks to us through our consciences. Amen? And He puts thoughts into our minds so that we can understand. And if we draw close to Him, His voice will be much more clear. God doesn't want to have to yell at us in order to get our attention. What Peter had learned here was, I've learned this, he says, that God is no respecter of persons. Amen? There's no partiality with God, verse 34. He learned something else. God came preaching to everyone, not just to the children of Israel, but He came preaching peace through Jesus Christ, verse 36, He is Lord of all. Amen? So I want to speak to you this morning. I've been speaking to you, all of us, and sometimes people say, well, You're just preaching to. Well, let me tell you something. Sometimes when any preacher preaches under the anointing of the Lord, they're not just preaching to a crowd, they're preaching to themselves too. I've learned a lot of things that God said through my preaching. Amen. And I'm in a learning process and a growing process just like ever all of us are. Let's stand. I want to thank you for your patience. I want to thank you for being here this morning. If anyone needs to come to the altar for any reason, this is your opportunity to come. And I'll always like to give an invitation for somebody just to draw near, close to God if they want to, while they're in God's presence. So to come to pray, or to come to confess, or to come whatever, to ask God something. If you want to be a Christian, invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you can come at this time. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer.